All right. Does anyone celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve rather than Christmas morning? Anybody like open gifts on Christmas Eve? Okay, we have a few. Yes, yeah. Alice's family was like that growing up. They did their big Christmas, if you will, on Christmas Eve. Wonderful. All right. Again, I want to add my thanks to those who participated in our annual Candlelight Christmas service last Sunday night. Thank you so much for all who participated and made the effort to be a part of that. We were blessed by your participation. And, of course, those in the reception and in the often forgotten cleanup crew. All right, Merry Christmas, everybody. Here in the week of Christmas, we are looking at the topic of joy. The topic of joy. And we're going to look at select verses from Luke's gospel. Normally, we will go verse by verse through various books of the Bible. Most recently, we have been studying the book of 2 Corinthians. But we have taken a short break here in the Advent season. For most people, Christmas is all about happiness. Due to getting or receiving gifts, or maybe it's extended time off from work, or holiday parties, or get-togethers over food with friends and family. Maybe loved ones arrive from out of town we haven't seen for a while. Maybe you go see them. And it is generally a happy time, is it not? But sadly, it is not uncommon for suicides to increase this time of the year as despondent and hopeless people search for happiness, but to no avail. And so for some, this is truly not the most wonderful time of the year. And for those who truly understand what the baby in the manger demands, it is a time of reckoning, reflection, and self-evaluation. Parts of this sermon this morning, I preached to myself over and over and over again in my own fight for joy. I must be thick-headed because I need to preach to myself the same sermons over and over and over, the same themes, the same biblical eternal truths over and over and over, and admonish myself time and time again. There is never a Sunday where I stand before you as the expert. In fact, most Sundays I stand before you as the example of what not to do. And so what I preach to you, not only am I preaching to myself, but have been preaching to myself for at least a week, and sometimes much longer than that. So my encouragement to you this morning is to preach sermons to yourself. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need formal Bible training. You just need truth. And you have the truth as much as I do in the written word of God. So preach truth to your thoughts. Preach truth to your desires. Preach truth to your emotions. Preach truth to your reactions. Preach truth to your trials. Preach truth to your suffering. And preach truth to your human traditions. We are currently in a season that for Christians is marked by and filled with joy. A Christian's life should be synonymous with joy. Now, that doesn't mean we never cry, or we never worry, or we never become fearful, or that we never sometimes doubt. And by the way, be on guard against doubt in the midst of your trials. Combat your doubt by preaching truth to it. In your trials, God is working to strengthen your faith. Scripture is very clear for the purpose of our trials. However, Satan, though at the same time, is working to create unbelief in your heart, in God's word, and God's eternal promises to you. But despite all of that, nonetheless, we can be, and we should be, joyful. Because joy transcends any earthly situation or problem. Unlike happiness, joy is eternal. And it's spiritual in nature, and it's God-given. Joy is not reliant on what happens to us. And while there are times when it's naturally and understandably very difficult to be joyful, nonetheless, our lives should always be joyful, even in those tough times of uncertainty and great pain. But especially, our joy should be overflowing at the celebration of the virgin birth and the incarnation of the Messiah, our Savior. Beyond the temporal happiness and fleeting excitement that this time of the year offers, Christmas is indeed a season of everlasting joy. So, dearly beloved, are you filled with joy this Christmas? I did not ask if you and your family were problem-free. I did ask if you were trial-free. But rather, are you free to experience joy because of the incarnation of the God-man, Jesus Christ, and his eternal heavenly promises that are yours in him? If you are a true, genuine believer, you have no reason not to be filled with joy and delight and thanksgiving. And joy, delight, and thanksgiving transcend whatever is going on in our lives. We can and we must be joyful because of the eternal promises given to us by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I just love the Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Luke that we read together a few minutes ago. In fact, there's nothing better at Christmas time than the Christmas story read from Luke chapter 2 on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. The author, Dr. Luke, even though some think he was a Gentile, probably was, appears to have the most intimate knowledge concerning the young Jewish girl, Mary. And so his gospel book gives the most detailed story of the birth of Christ, and also his gospel gives the most detailed prescription for joy. Luke wants us to see that the story of the world meeting Jesus in the flesh is a story of the world finally finding full joy in God. And for the Christian, you cannot separate joy from Christ. The two are synonymous. And so the world finding full joy in God begins with the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, and you are welcome to turn there in your scriptures if you desire. Passage is too lengthy to put on the screen. But the angel said to Zechariah in this text, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So even before Christ, the Christ child was born, the message was a message of joy. Through his angel, the Lord promised that people would rejoice at the birth of John because he would pave the way for the long-awaited Christ. So rejoice! The King is coming into the world to save sinners and spread his joy. When the fullness of time had come, as Galatians chapter 4 says, the baby was born. The Messiah himself came forth from heaven through Mary's womb. And that night, an angel appeared to some shepherds in chapter 2 and declared, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Those unsuspecting shepherds who were out in the fields on perhaps just an ordinary mundane night like most other nights, all of a sudden were hearing the chorus of the praise that we have sung ever since. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Rejoice, the King has come, and with this baby, the fullness of joy was born for all who would believe. However, Jesus' birth was not Luke's final word about our joy. In Luke chapter 6, even in the midst of the very worst of circumstances, namely the awful persecution of Jesus and his disciples, Jesus' message remained the same: rejoice. In fact, leap for joy. Those who rejoice at Jesus' coming will suffer in this life, but their weakness, their pain, and their misery here are as nothing compared with the glories that are waiting for them in heaven. When we suffer for the sake of Christ, we are blessed, because suffering with Christ is a way of confirming that we are his. To suffer for Christ is to be blessed. That is the opposite of the typical American mentality, is it not? And those who are his, who are Christ, have nothing to fear and nothing to lose and everything to gain, including the eternal riches or the immeasurable riches of his grace that are already waiting for them in heaven with God. Though the battle rages for a few short decades down here and we experience many losses along the way, fix your eyes on the joy that is ahead. Fix your eyes on the joy that awaits you, for joy awaits those who persevere. In Luke chapter 10, we see that we are to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Nothing in this world can undo or even diminish your joy in Jesus unless you allow it. Unless you allow it. The baby born in Bethlehem was born to die in our place, and he died so we might live. He went to the cross and received the wrath we deserved for our sin. He remained on the cross until he had drunk every drop from the cup of God's wrath. He fully absorbed the entire wrath of Almighty God for every sin that has ever or will ever be committed by those who repent and believe on his name. He died to purchase the great joy that the angels announced at his birth 33 years earlier. And 3 days after his death, he rose from the grave. And he became the firstborn of all who would follow him. The first one to rise from the grave, never to return. He appeared to his disciples. He showed them how all of the Bible was pointing to him. The baby born in a manger. The preacher of good news. The Son of God crucified on the cross. The King who conquered the grave. The joy of the world. And after he left his disciples ascending into heaven and promising to return, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The king that died never surrendered to death. He rose and he reigns in all glory, sending his disciples among the nations to offer everyone, everywhere, never-ending joy in him and with him in his presence. Rejoice. Jesus was born, and he died to have a world of worship. Sons and daughters from every people group on earth, and one day we will enjoy God with them forever. Oh, what a day that will be. And so on Sunday mornings, we join in with them, with the saints who have gone on before us, and we participate with them in the worship that is continually happening in heaven. And one day, you and I will physically join people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every ethnic group around the throne, worshiping with great joy the one who is joy. May your heart be filled with joy and gladness, not only here at Christmas time, but every day of the year, because of the great joy that awaits us in eternal glory. And that great joy is not the streets of gold or the fruit of the month or the mansion on the hilltop. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is our joy. The baby in the manger is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, dear friend, let me ask you this morning, have you lost your joy? I didn't ask about your happiness. Didn't ask about your enthusiasm or your excitement, but your joy. Are you one who used to live joylessly, but now, not so much? Certainly sin can rob us of our joy. Most certainly habitual sin in an unrepentant life will rob us of our joy. And additionally, trials, troubles, suffering can weigh us down. Can also lead to joylessness if we are not careful. So are you joyful? Are you filled with joy? Is your heart and your life overflowing with joy? If you are a believer in Christ, you ought to be. And if you're without Christ, you cannot be. But come to Christ today and receive the one who is joy. And joy everlasting. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the one who is great joy. And who, for the joy that lay before him, endured the cross. May our faith endure and be filled with great joy that transcends our troubles. May you do that supernatural, miraculous work in our hearts, Lord. And despite our troubles and our trials and in uncertainty of life, may you fill us with joy. We thank you for this Christmas season where we can focus on the one who is our joy and the blessedness that we have in him. Oh, we are so blessed beyond measure because of the good news of great joy that has been given to us. We thank you. We praise you. And we thank you that for those of us who are your children, for those of us who will be seated at your banquet table for all eternity, you cannot bless us any more than you have already blessed us. May we remember these truths in our dark days, that we are truly blessed people, and that our best life is not now. Our best life is to come. And it is the life when we will look on the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worship him. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Would you all please